I'm amazed at the breadth of human ingenuity to solve social, economic, political, and even technical challenges. The one area where I don't see human ingenuity applied nearly as much is when it comes to planning our careers and future job prospects. That's the topic for this podcast.
This is the Killer Innovations Podcast with Phil McKinney. Keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are Phil's and Phil's alone, and they don't necessarily reflect those of his past, current, or future employers. Now, here's Phil McKinney.
The focus of this podcast is about inspiring you to unleash your natural creativity to create killer products, services, and solutions. Now, the one common question I get is, hey, Phil, I'm not in technology like you are. Does what you discuss apply to my business, to my desire to invent, to my nonprofit? The answer is yes. You can apply what I refer to as the killer question approach to almost anything. Now, in today's podcast, I'm going to share with you how to use your creativity to improve your career and your future job prospects. Now, let me step back and let's set some baseline. The foundation for the creating killer innovations is about asking the right set of questions. Better ideas come from asking better questions. And if you can significantly improve the quality of your ideas, the resulting output, the resulting innovations that actually get done, significantly are improved. So by asking, again, better questions get you better ideas. For an example, some of the most popular killer questions that I've shared with you in the podcast, and I get constant feedback from you about this one really helped me in this particular area. I'm just going to give you three examples of some of the most popular killer questions that we've discussed before. The first one, what are the basic assumptions under which my industry operates? Now, why is this an important question? It forces you to get those assumptions that are rattling around in your brain and put them down onto paper. So again, what are the basic assumptions under which my industry operates? Write them all down, document them, and then ask yourself the question for each one that you've listed, what if the opposite were true? Go through each one and reverse it. What does that do in changing your perspective or changing the view or coming up with ideas to how do you fundamentally change the way your industry operates? First of all, document the assumptions, and then look at the opposites. The second question really is just a takeoff of the first question. Rather than focusing on the industry, focus on your company. What are the basic assumptions under which my company operates? And then what if the opposite were true? This is a great question for getting down all those assumptions and then changing your perspective, forcing you to look at those assumptions, and then looking for ways to fundamentally change the way your company operates or fundamentally change the way the industry operates for the better. The third example is, what do people not like about the process of purchasing my product? What is it about the whole purchasing process they don't like? They don't like having to go to retail. They don't like going online because the online experience isn't all that great. They don't like dealing with a salesperson who talks down to them. Whatever your industry segment, you know, how you deliver your products or services, step back and ask yourself, what do people not like about the process of purchasing my product? Now, this is just three of the 75 questions that are in the deck. Now, the other question I always get is, hey, Phil, when are you going to publish the entire list? Do I need to go through the entire podcast history to try to find them? I'm trying to make it easier for you, rather than just putting out a list of the killer questions, because by themselves, they could be a little daunting, a little challenging to apply. So what I'm doing is I'm putting out a Twitter feed, about one a week. I'm a little behind here most recently, but I'm sharing a question on the Twitter feed that then points you back to a blog entry where I go through in detail, describe why this question is important, how it's been applied to a specific company, so that you can get a little bit more understanding of how to use the questions. It isn't as simple as just publishing a list, because what I have found is for those people that I have shared either the entire list or portions of the list, if they struggle with how to apply it to their specific activities. So again, you can follow it on the Twitter feed. The Twitter feed is Killer Question, and that's probably the best way to get caught up on all the current ones that are out there and to also follow and get a new question about once a week or so. My other objective for doing the Twitter feed is also to maybe do a little, you know, kick in the seat of the pants here to help you stay on top of being creative and applying these questions on a day-to-day basis with whatever task that you've got before you. So again, this is just three examples of about 75 that are in the entire deck. The Twitter feed is probably the best way for you to follow along. The killer questions themselves are not locked down as being hard and fast, and it has to be this exact question. You can adapt any of the killer questions to your specific need. So again, let's walk through an example. If the killer question that I've given you is, what do people not like about the process of purchasing my product? Go through the question, identify some of those keywords, and look for alternatives. So for instance, instead of using the word product, you could use the word service. You could offer solution. You could say content. So for instance, you would then say, what do people not like about the process of purchasing my service or my solution? Another example is look at the term purchasing. You could replace the word purchasing with ordering, specifying, or even finding. What do people not like about the process of finding information about my product? Is it hard to find? Are you hard to find? How do you make it easier? Another example is replacing the word people. You could use the word customers. You could use the word management. Or you can be very specific and say 18 to 25-year-olds. Again, what do 18 to 25-year-olds not like about the process of purchasing my service? You can apply the same approach to being creative about your career and future job prospects. You can take the killer questions, look at the questions themselves, and restructure them so that you can apply them to advancing your own career, looking at how you're currently doing your career, and looking at future job prospects. So, what are some examples of killer questions that you can use to be creative about your career? And also about how do you plan for future job prospects? I'm going to give you a couple of example questions here where I've taken the killer question and I've reworded them specifically for you to apply to yourself, to your career. Not about creating a new killer innovation or a killer idea, but how do you create a killer career? How do you find that killer next job? You can apply the exact same questions, but apply it to you personally. First example. What assumptions am I making about my manager's understanding of my skill and abilities? Again, what assumptions am I making about my manager's understanding of my skill and abilities? Now, list them all out. For instance, you may say, hey, your manager knows I'm creative, knows I'm coming up with really great ideas, and my ideas are the ones that have really been the linchpin for some of the more recent success in the business. They know that I'm a great manager. They know that I'm very good at communicating, that customers love me, blah, 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 blah. Go through each one of those assumptions, and you'll tend to write them as very positive. Now go through each one and ask yourself, what if the opposite were true? You have an assumption that your manager knows that you're highly creative and you've come up with really great ideas. What if the opposite were true? That your manager had no clue that you were highly creative and had no clue that it was your ideas that had been led to the most recent success within your business. Go through each of those assumptions, write down what if the opposite were true, and then ask yourself, what could you do to correct or reverse that assumption? So what if you have an assumption that your manager knows that you're highly creative and highly innovative? You look at the opposite where it says, you know, he has no clue that I'm highly creative or highly innovative. How would you make your manager aware of that skill, of those abilities? And then what I would suggest you do, help your manager see your skills and abilities. Help your manager see what it is that you're capable of doing. So again, in this case, the example was, what assumptions am I making about my manager's understanding of my skills and abilities? And then what if the opposite were true? And then what could you do to correct or reverse that second assumption? Second example, why don't companies look for or hire people with my skill set? Why don't companies look for or hire people with my skill set? Now, your skills may be along the lines of they're outdated, there's too many people with the exact same skill set, your skill set's turned into a commodity. That's going to generate one set of ideas. Second is your skill set is too new. You've listed one of your skill sets on your resume as innovation guru. What the heck does that mean? HR is not familiar with really this need or this desire to have people who've got creativity and innovation skills specifically listed on their resume. So the question again is why don't companies look for or hire people with my skill set? And then what would you do to flip that? What would you have to do to make that specific skill set attractive? Or what would have to happen? So if you had innovation guru listed on your resume, what would have to happen? HR would have to understand that an innovation guru is a desirable person to have. And then what's going to have to happen in order to make that a reality? Or how do you make them understand the value of an innovation guru and why your resume would be desirable? Don't assume. So again, why don't companies look for or hire people with my skill set? Be honest. Write it all down. And then what if the opposite were true? And then how are you going to make that a reality? How are you going to make it such that your skill sets become the most desirable skill sets? Now, it may not be something that you just do. You may are waiting for the maturity of the creative economy to come around where all of a sudden HR is looking for people with your skill set. The key for finding that next job is understanding the skill sets that they do want, understanding the skills that you have that they don't even know they want, and then how do you make them desire your skill sets? The third example, what value could I deliver if I had expertise and crossed the entire value chain? What value could I deliver if I had expertise across the entire value chain? Well, first off, you need to understand the entire value chain of your products or services or solutions that your company delivers. That everything from supply chain to manufacturing to marketing to sales to R&D engineering to long-range research and development. What is the entire value chain? Then document what are your skill gaps. Where are you strong? Where are you weak? Where you have no skills? And then how do you fill in the gaps in your expertise? And in some cases, if you want to advance to really become high value within your organization, you may actually need to take a step down. Take a job that's maybe even a level lower than where you're at now, but that fills a key skill gap. And by filling that key skill gap, long term, you're going to significantly raise your overall value to the organization. So for instance, if you're focusing on the value chain of maybe not just the entire products and services, but just on the innovation value chain, understand the entire innovation value chain, understand what skills you bring to the table, understand where your gaps are, and be willing to step in and actually, you know, take rather than maybe even a manager role, being a contributor role in order to learn that skill set to fill in that gap. It's not about just more money in the next step. It's over how do you create long-term value so that over the entire length of your career, 30, 40 years, you can position yourself to have long-term value and therefore get the return of your investment. In this case, the investment of your time and of your energies to fill in those key skill gaps. So again, what value could I deliver if I had expertise across the entire value chain? And the fourth example, what external jolts have the potential to significantly impact my career? What external jolts have the potential to significantly impact my career? I've been through significant changes in the technology industry over the last 25 years and seen some significant jolts. And it's always amazed me by how people get surprised, like, oh my gosh, I didn't see this coming. The key is to plan for the possible changes to your industry or to your career ahead of the jolt happening. So the way to do this is to work out some scenarios. What is the most likely path for your career long term? In your career, I'm not talking about your existing job, but your overall job classification or job category over the entire set of industries that you serve or that your career could serve. So look across that. What is the most likely path that that career is going to go forward with? And then create two alternative scenarios. One is be extremely pessimistic. For example, you're a software engineer, and all of a sudden now there's thousands of software engineers, and there's software engineers in other parts of the world that are willing to work for 25% of the salary that you need to have to survive. That's an extremely pessimistic. The flip side is create a scenario that is extremely optimistic. Software becomes the thing. People who are highly creative and the ability to create software are really going to be in demand. That has an extremely optimistic. So again, what external jolts have the potential to significantly impact my career? What's the most likely? What's the extremely pessimistic view? What's the extremely optimistic view? And what are the jolts that would cause either that pessimistic scenario or that optimistic scenario? And then ask yourself, what decision would you make today if you knew a given scenario would happen? If you know that the extremely pessimistic move is gonna happen, you just know it for sure, what decisions would you make today? The same is what would you do today if you knew that the optimistic path was the way to go? That is absolutely going to happen. What decisions would you make today? What decisions would you need to make a month from now? What decisions would you make a year from now? What this does is it allows you to document kind of what your options are depending on which scenario occurs. And what you want to do is you want to create career strategies that are robust to withstand most, if not all, of the scenarios. So if you think that your career is going to be extremely pessimistic, and one of the decisions you would make would be to start expanding your knowledge base or your expertise into newer areas such that the latest and newest things you're most familiar with, then that would be a career strategy that you should take anyways, because that plays well with both a pessimistic to ensure that you are still highly valued, and it allows you to take advantage of the most optimistic, because if that area does truly take off, you're going to be in the best position and be in the most demand when that optimistic scenario really gets to take traction. So again, what external jolts have the potential to significantly impact my career? What decisions would you make today if you knew a given scenario would happen? And then develop career strategies that are robust to withstand most, if not all, of the scenarios. So, see how easy it is to adapt the killer question to your need? It's not about using the exact questions that I give you, whether you get them off of the blog site over at philmckinney.com, you get them from the Twitter feed, or you get them from listening to the podcast. It's not about using the exact question with the exact words. Now, wording is important, and you'll find this out as you use more of them. Certain words have certain meanings, and you'll generate even better ideas. But you've got to find that out for yourself as to what word for you, yourself, your team, or however you're going to apply that. But again, it's easy to adapt any of the killer questions to what your need is, whether it's, large corporation, small and medium-sized business, technology, no tech, services, retail, whether you're applying it to a team or you're applying it to you just individually sitting down at your own desk and doing your own career planning. And in today's podcast, I hopefully showed you how to use the killer questions to get creative about your career and future job prospects. Now is the perfect time to unleash and use your own personal creativity to look at your own career and prepare yourself both for today's economy, but also to get you in a better position to be the right person at the right time to get the maximum value for your future job prospects. So don't delay. Don't turn this podcast off and then think about, oh, that's another good podcast. I'm going to put it in the archive. This is one that's just begging for you to sit down, piece of paper, and start thinking about your career and start thinking about your job prospects today. Because if you put this off, then you're going to find yourself ill-prepared. And what better opportunity to use your creativity but in actually addressing your own career and making sure that you're the best person delivering the most value to the organization that you're targeting to work with. Good luck. Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. Please send your feedback to podcast@killerinnovations.com. Also, get connected. There's a lot of people out there in the Killer Innovations community that have a lot of really great ideas. They provide a lot of mentoring, a lot of feedback. You can join up over at Facebook or over at LinkedIn. You can find both of those on the killerinnovations.com/community page, and I'll actually have links to make it easier for you to find the entire community of listeners. You can also follow on Twitter. You can follow my Twitter feed at Phil McKinney. And if you're interested in the killer questions, there's a separate Twitter feed called Killer Question. And about once a week, I put out one of the killer questions and then point you back to a blog entry that gives you some very specific examples on how to apply that killer question to your day-to-day topics and needs. Send questions, send topics. Please email those in to me at podcast@killerinnovations.com. And I'm looking to collect those up as I work towards continuing to expand the overall content. We're now going into year 4 of the Killer Innovations podcast. And for those of you who've been listening from day 1, it's a small crew of you, I know, but I do want to thank you. Also, don't forget to pay it forward. My motivation for doing the Killer Innovations podcast is to pay it forward. I received phenomenal early mentoring in my career from Bob Davis, one of the giants in the computer software industry back in the 70s and 80s. He spent a lot of time mentoring me beyond just technology, but how to be creative, how to be innovative, how to be more than just a tech geek. When I asked him how to pay it forward, his instruction to me was, when you get successful in your career, mentor others. Pay it forward. And all I ask for you for listening to the podcast, the content is free. All I ask for you is to pay it forward, which is share the link, share the information about the Killer Innovation Podcast with your team, with your managers, even with your family members. Link to it from your website, post about it, however you want to pay it forward, but that's all I ask. And again, I thank you for your time. I know time is the most valuable asset that you give me by taking the time out to listen to the podcast, and hopefully you find this information beneficial to you. And again, thank you for taking the time. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.